Hello everyone, it's Helena here in Truro. I'm here to talk about more great works of art. Now this time, I confess to being somewhat self-indulgent. The reason for this is that I'm in the process of recording a three-part podcast on the life and art of the King of Chiaroscuro, Caravaggio. In each part of the series, I give a commentary on a painting from that distinct phase of his career, and weave in between it a narrative of his life. I have already completed the first part of the series, which you can find on the London Walks website. So it may seem somewhat self-indulgent to be presenting commentaries on two further paintings by Caravaggio. Now, I have four main justifications for doing this. Firstly, neither painting is covered in the three-part series, so there is no duplication of material. Second, I wanted to choose paintings with an Easter theme, it being the Easter tide, and both relate to episodes from the Easter story. Third reason is that if you are looking to have a crash course in the religious art of Caravaggio, these would be excellent paintings to choose for that purpose. Both contain all the main features of Caravaggio's distinctive style and technique, such as his dramatic use of chiaroscuro, his depiction of the most dramatic moment in the narrative, his use of ordinary people as models, his updating of the biblical story to contemporary times, his inclusion of himself as an observer in the drama, and, in particular, his breaking down of the barrier between the picture plane and the viewer's space in such a dramatic and intense way that the viewer feels they are as much as a participant as spectator to what is going on. And my fourth reason is that they are simply superb works of art. And if I had to choose my favourite paintings by Caravaggio, these would definitely be in the top five. The two paintings I'll be discussing in this podcast are the Supper at Emmaus of 1601 and the Taking of Christ of 1602. These were two of three paintings, the third being St. John the Baptist of 1602, commissioned by a private patron and great lover of the arts, Ciriaco Mattei. He was the eldest of three brothers from the very wealthy and influential Mattei family, whose hospitality and patronage Caravaggio had been enjoying following his departure from the residence of his first principal patron, Cardinal Del Monte, early in 1601. Del Monte had been instrumental in securing for Caravaggio his first major commission, which changed his life and career forever. And the commission was for the paintings of the Calling of and Martyrdom of St. Matthew for the Contarelli Chapel of the Church of St. Luigi de Francese in 1599. These were followed shortly after by a commission for the paintings of the Crucifixion of St. Peter and the Conversion of St. Paul for the Serezi Chapel of Santa Maria del Popolo in 1600. And what was significant about these commissions is that although they were private, they were for public buildings, churches. And this meant that Caravaggio's work was seen by a large number of people for the very first time. By churchgoers, ordinary people living in Rome, pilgrims flocking to visit the Eternal City, and also art lovers, artists, students of art, who'd come to see the art of the ancient classical world, but had also come to see works by contemporary artists too. And the commission coincided with the Jubilee year of 1600, when pilgrims were flocking into the city to take part in the events and celebrations of that special year. And the Church of Santa Maria del Popolo was right on one of the major pilgrim routes into the city, so particularly well visited at that time. So huge crowds of people got to see Caravaggio's work for the first time, and they were astonished by it. News of the work by this amazing artist spread like wildfire. It was the equivalent of going viral nowadays. People came from all over Europe to see works by this new, exciting young artist. They queued round the block to get a chance to see what all the buzz was about. And buzz is the operative word, because contemporary writers talk about approaching the chapels where his art was displayed and hearing the sound like the buzzing of bees round a hive, which was the collective murmur of astonishment among the crowds at seeing Caravaggio's work for the very first time. and the Dutch art historian Karel van Mander, living in Haarlem, wrote in 1603. There is a certain Michelangelo de Caravaggio who is doing extraordinary things in Rome. Even that might be regarded as an understatement. Now, the purpose to my preamble is to indicate that when Caravaggio undertook these works for Ciriaco Mattei, he was at the height of his fame and success as an artist. He was living in relative comfort and security. He had all the materials he needed at his disposal. And these superb paintings have a high quality of finish about them. You can barely see the brush strokes. The major difference between these paintings and those for the churches is that the Mattei commissions would have been enjoyed by a much smaller and select audience. Family members, friends, and fellow lovers of the arts. So Caravaggio was able to take risks to include elements in his paintings that might not have been accepted had they been designed for public buildings. In particular, his unusual and somewhat controversial depiction of Christ in the Supper at Emmaus. Also, while the paintings reveal Caravaggio's distinctive approach of telling the gospel stories in a very clear and direct way, they also reveal quite profound theological insights into the deeper meanings of the gospels, and a sound understanding and knowledge of the scriptures, reflected in particular in his appreciation of the different versions of the gospels of the same story. One of the Mattei brothers, Girolamo, was a cardinal, and he may have suggested some of the theological ideas for Caravaggio to include in his paintings. And I'll explore this in more detail when I give my commentary on the Taking of Christ painting. I will be recording my commentaries in two parts, in the order in which the paintings were commissioned. So part one will be on the Supper at Emmaus, and part two on the Taking of Christ. You may want to look up reproductions of the paintings in preparation for the podcast. In the case of the Supper at Emmaus, this is to be found in the National Gallery in London. So if you go to the National Gallery website, you'll find an image there. Now, I'll also be comparing this painting with Titian's depiction of the same subject, which dates to 1540, and that is in the Louvre Museum in Paris. So again, if you go to the Louvre's website, you'll find an image there. And in fact, if you haven't seen the Supper at Emmaus by Caravaggio, may I suggest that you look at the Titian first and delay looking at the work by Caravaggio until I refer to it in my commentary. And that's because I think it's interesting to look at the Titian in order to see why Caravaggio's work was seen as being so radically different. I'll also refer to possible sources of inspiration for certain details in the painting. In the case of the image of Christ, Michelangelo's depiction of the Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel in Rome, and in the case of the dramatic gesture of the unidentified disciple, Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper fresco in Milan. So again, you may want to look at those images before you listen to the podcast, or simply pause the talk and bring up the images as I relate to them. The second painting, The Taking of Christ, is in the National Gallery of Ireland in Dublin. Again, their website is the best place to find an image of it. I will also make reference to Giotto's version of the same subject of 1306, which is in the Scrovegni Arena Chapel in Padua. And again, if you look up Scrovegni, that's Scrovegni, Arena Chapel, Padua, you should be able to find an image there. And I'll also refer to two sources which Caravaggio may have used as inspiration. One is a small woodcut by Albert Durer of the Betrayal of Christ of 1509 in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And the second is a street scene by Francesco Villamena, that is Villamena, of 1601, in the British Museum in London. Now, it's not necessary to look up this extra material. You may just find it helps illustrate the points I make in the talk, which I really hope you enjoy. And more importantly, I really hope you find the experience of spending time with these two superb paintings enriching. It really pays to spend that time to discover how the paintings draw you in, ask you to imagine yourself at the scene and wonder how you would react to it. You may not like the works, but it's hard not to be moved by them. You might even find that you have a slightly different perspective on life after seeing Caravaggio's work. I did. And that's what art can do. It can change our view of the world and humanity. Well, it can do when the artist is a genius, like Caravaggio. Well, I do hope very much to enjoy your company for the two-part podcast on the Supper at Emmaus and the Taking of Christ by Caravaggio. Have a wonderful spring. Goodbye.